It's a good day. Amen. God is good all the time. I'm excited about today's message because Pastor Rick didn't realize that the title of my message today is The Power of Wait. So we're talking about waiting on the Lord. So who likes to wait? Not really, right? Not really. So this morning we're talking about the power of wait. So I was thinking of calling it Waiting on the Lord, and then I was thinking of calling it It's About Time, and then I thought about When God Drags His Feet, but Cliff already used that one a couple weeks ago, right? Cliff used that one already. But I would say about a year ago, God spoke to my heart to talk about this topic this weekend. And this weekend, we are Stained Glass Road Band, and many people from the church, we were out at the Agape Festival, which is out like in central PA. And I gave a message yesterday morning, and it was a shortened version of what I'm going to give to you. Don't you wish you were out there? You would have gotten the short version. The Cliff Notes, right? The Jen Notes. So anyway, there's a reason behind this, and I realized it when I looked at the dates and how God just orchestrated this message. So no one really likes to wait. So what does it mean to wait? We wait, we sit. We are always waiting. Think about waiting in traffic. You're waiting in the grocery, at the grocery store. You're waiting in line there, right? You wait in the doctor's office. In fact, they call it the waiting room, right? And doesn't it make you mad when somebody walks in, they came in after you and they get called before you? And you just want to go up to the counter. I signed in first, right? Well, there's a different doctor, and you know, or they had an appointment, and you're like, come on, I want to go. I got to get this done. We don't like to wait. We don't like when somebody's slow in front of us in traffic. We want to get around them. I'm going to get there 5 seconds sooner if I get in front of them, right? So we just like it our way. I mean, let's just put it that way. We like it our way, right? So what does it mean to wait? So there's the sitting, not moving. There's the excited anticipation for a special day. Like, I can't wait till Friday. I can't wait till my birthday. Can't wait till Christmas. I'm so excited about, right? Maybe you guys are just real simple. You can't wait for lunch. You're excited for lunch. I mean, hello, right? Or you can't wait till Sunday morning so you can come and worship the Lord with all of your best friends, right? We wait. Amen. Amen. We wait for the unknown. A pregnant woman waits 9 months, 10 months to give birth. That anticipation, that unknown, how's this going to go? How's this going to be? Praying that God makes it work out. We wait for the test results. Maybe you went to the doctor and you had some tests done. Or maybe you took a test at college and you're waiting to see what kind of grade you get. And there's this fear maybe of the unknown. You're waiting for the storm to pass. There's something going on in your life and you just wish everything would just calm down and be still for a change because you've got so much going on. Maybe you're waiting for a prodigal to return. A son, a husband, a daughter, a wife, a friend. We relate to and understand things according to the passing of time, right? Everything we talk about, we usually reference time in some way. So we have the seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years, decades. You know you're getting older when you start counting everything in decades, right? I was cracking up because at Vacation Bible School, a third or fourth grader came up and she was talking about something that she was wearing, and I can't remember what it was. I wish I could remember, but she said, oh, this is from the 80s. She's in third grade. I'm like, you don't even know what the 80s are, right? Let me pull something out from the 80s and show you the outfits from then, right? We'll talk about that later. Anyway. So then we talk about there was a time when, or when I was younger, or in my teens, or in my 20s, a month ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We'll even talk about the future in reference to time, like, you know, when I'm at this age, or in the future I'm going to, or by that time I will have. We're always referencing things according to time. So while God made times and seasons for us to enjoy and to be here, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He sees things from an eternal point of view. He sees things from up here, kind of looking down and seeing the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning to the end. He already sees things done that we're waiting for. And He's not bound by time, but He respects time and He uses time to help us grow. It's like the higher you fly in an airplane. How many of you like to fly? How many of you like a window seat? Okay, all right, good. How many of you just grabbed the bag that's in the front of the seat behind you, right in front of you? Anyway, you like to look out the window and you soak that in. And the higher you get, the smaller you feel. Don't you? You just realize how little you are in respect to the world when you get up there. And that's kind of how God sees things from that eternal perspective. But yet he still sees you and knows every hair on your head. And he cares about everything that you care about. Our perspective is temporal. His is eternal. We don't like to wait. Why? We don't like to wait because we want to be in control of everything. We want to be driving the car. We don't really even sometimes want to listen to GPS. Oh, that's not the way I'm going to go. I'm going to go a different way. But I'll just keep her on so I can go the opposite direction of what she's telling me to do. Right? We don't want to listen to what God says all the time. We want to drive. We want to be in charge. We want to make it come. Right? We want it now, my way, right away. So I think that oftentimes when we're waiting on God and he's not going fast enough for us, this is what we tend to do. We wonder why he hasn't done it and why he hasn't done it already. We W wonder. We A, assume he doesn't care or hear us. Well, God mustn't care about what I'm asking him for. Maybe he's not hearing my prayers. We isolate from God and others. We hide from God and we think, well, if he's not going to talk back to me, I'm not going to talk to him. Or we get mad at people because they're getting the very thing that we're asking God for and they show up with it. You know, they get the new house, they get the new car, they get the baby, they get the job, they get the raise. Why not me, God? Right? So we pull away from people. And then T, we turn to something else for fulfillment. Because if God's not going to give it to me, I'm going to look for it somewhere else. And that's not what he wants us to do. So we have to trust in the Lord, and we're going to get to that. God created a space in us that can only be satisfied by him. Nothing else will ever satisfy except Jesus Christ. You will always, always come up empty. Nothing will ever fill the void where God is meant to be. It just won't. You could try everything. You could go to the ends of the earth. You won't escape him, and nothing will fill you like he does. Waiting is yielding. It's allowing someone else to lead, to advance you, to make a way for you. Waiting on God is yielding to him. It's saying, you go first, God. It doesn't mean that God's delayed when we wait for him. It doesn't mean, oh, sorry, I'm late. God's never late. He's not delayed. It means he's in charge. He's guiding us at the proper time, at the best time. Because when we try to make something happen, we try to push it and make it our way. Now, that doesn't mean work. We don't sit around twiddling our thumbs saying, I'm waiting on God to get me a job. We have to look for a job, but we wait on God to bring that right one at the right time. And if you get 10 no's, it's one no closer to a yes. And we keep trusting God and we lay it before him. We also don't try to rush things like, well, I'm going to buy it, you know, because I want it now. And yeah, I'm going to go into debt to get it because I want it now. If God's like, wait, if you just wait one more year, you'll have the cash to pay for it. If you just save for a little bit longer, just wait for me. God will bring things to you at the best time. There is power in waiting. Time, I often think of time as like a moving walkway. Did you ever hear airport reference again? Did you ever go to the airport? They have those moving walkways because you're trying to get from Terminal A to Terminal Z, right? And you're late. You have 10 minutes to get there. So you're like, oh, moving walkway. Thank God. And you get on it. Now, if you're late, you're not even standing on the moving walkway. You're running on the walkway, right? To get to the end. But someone's always in front of you with 10 suitcases and just standing there. Right? Minding their own business. I got 2 hours to kill here and I'm just going to keep riding the walkway. Right? So you're like, come on, come on. And I know you've all done the races where I'm going to walk next to the moving walkway and someone else is going to try to get to the end. You know, Bella and I like to do that when we're at the airport. So anyway, but I often think of time like that because it just keeps going. It's not going to stop for you. But when you try to run on it, try to get ahead of God and ahead of time and ahead of yourself, you're going to wear out real quick. The other thing that you don't want to do on a moving walkway is try to go backwards. you don't want to try to run this way because you're going to be going nowhere. And I gave this illustration at the ladies' retreat. The 1 year Cliff and I went to the airport, another airport story. We've only flown maybe 6 times, but we have great stories already, right? So, whoops, I had my suitcase, and we were going up the escalator, and I'm just like holding it. Yeah, we can ride the escalator with the suitcase. Well, I had my bag here, and I don't know what happened, but somehow I let go of the suitcase on the escalator. This was at Allentown Airport, so everyone that was standing in the main lobby there could see it like this way. So I turn around, I'm going backwards, trying to catch the suitcase, and every time I went backwards, it was going down, 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 and we must have looked hilarious. I was just laughing, but that is what happens when we try to chase stuff from the past. We're trying to go backwards and undo and redo, and you can't. You're just going to look ridiculous, and you're going to miss it when you get to the top of the steps. So sometimes we just have to kind of let the past go. But at the same time, God uses our past to help transform us and change us and say, I'm not doing it that way again. That didn't work. Let's do a different way. So I believe that God uses what we dealt with then to help us now. And what we go through now will help us when. So what we dealt with then will help us now. What we go through now will help us when. The future. Waiting stretches our contentment. You might want to think about this or write this down or take a screenshot, because waiting stretches our contentment. It exercises our self-control, strengthens our resolve, and firms our foundation. Waiting makes a way. God makes a way. We go with his flow. I'm going to put it up in a little bit again, if you missed some of it. Wisdom comes with age. I think the older I get, the more decades I start counting, right? The more I'm like relaxed in God's faithfulness. It doesn't mean that I don't have like stressful days, but I'm like, you know what? If I don't get it done, I don't get it done. If I get it done, great. You know? And I just have to rest, because you can be stressed out all the time. You can be, if you want to be. You can be stressed all the time. There's always something going on. There's not one person here that says, yeah, I have nothing going on in my life. In fact, if you're retired, this is what you've been waiting for. You're busier now than when you were working. And you're thinking, I wish I just had a job so I could say, sorry, I have to work. Right? I got an amen, all right? Wisdom comes from making mistakes and learning from them. So if you make mistakes, if you do, I know you never do. You're perfect, right? When we make mistakes, God uses those mistakes for his glory, to help us then, to help us when, right? Look, seeking God's word. I have my Bible here. I don't like to go anywhere without my Bible, because it's like, it's life. It's God's words to me. And I believe the longer we have a relationship with God, the wiser we become and the higher we'll fly in that airplane, right? The higher we fly, the more we can see and the smaller we feel. Did you ever notice when you fly in an airplane how the highways and the roads connect? And you go, wow, look at that turnaround. Look how cool that looks. Oh, look how those roads connect. Look how straight that housing development is. Oh, that, I didn't know that looked like that. Oh, look at that beautiful lake. And you start to see the great orchestration of how everything connects. Our God is a great orchestrator. He has a plan, and he plans with wisdom. Before he even created the world, he made a plan. Proverbs 8 talks about that. Psalms or Proverbs 8 talks about how God created with wisdom. Proverbs 8. I always get those mixed up. I don't know. They start with a P. So, all right. So I always think, you know, when I'm in an airplane, like, who am I that God would know little old me, care about little old me, right? Isaiah 66, 8 through 11 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear fruit and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. That's a mouthful, but God is saying, what I say is going to happen is going to happen. God has made a promise to you. He is going to fulfill it. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it in you, through you, with you, alongside of you. You're going to do great things for God if you let him do those things in you. If you wait on him, if you trust in him, you keep following his voice. God already has a plan in motion to work things out for your good. And as you yield to him, he leads you in ways you cannot fathom. God sees as now is. Cliff talked about that a couple weeks ago. Already in motion, beginning to the end. When we're waiting for something we already desire, something we really desire, the enemy will try to make us think that God doesn't care because he hasn't given it to us, or that we did something wrong and that's why we don't have it. Because what the enemy uses to break us, God uses to make us. I gave a message on that last year. What the enemy uses to break us, God uses to make us. Right? God is saying, if you would never have to wait, you would never have to trust in me. So I ask you, what are you waiting for? Are you yielded to the Lord? If we always got what we wanted right away, we would be spoiled. You can't say brat in church, so I won't. But we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be spoiled, right? So what are you waiting for? Are you determined to be yielded to God's direction and his timing? Cliff and I have learned, Rick and Nancy learned, our CNT, our family, we've learned if God's not supplying for it, it's not him. If he's not making a way for it, then we're going to wait. Maybe it's a no, maybe it's a not yet. And we're going to trust him. Waiting is hoping. Read this together with me, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. They will run and not get tired. You know why? Because your body, your flesh and bone gets tired. But when God inspires you and fills you with his Holy Spirit and you let the Spirit rule, you can do anything because he comes alongside to help you. Though we stumble badly, though we get tired and worn out, we want to sleep, God could say, I need you to do this right now, and I'm going to energize you to do it. He will do it. Waiting stretches our contentment, exercises our self-control, strengthens our resolve, firms our foundation. Waiting makes a way. God makes a way. In our waiting, God is working. So what do we do while we're waiting? What do we do? So remember what we said not to do? We wonder, we assume, we isolate, and we turn to something else. That's what we do with the W-A-I-T. Now we're going to do, instead of wondering why, we're going to worship him, we're going to write down what we're asking him for, and we're going to watch God work, because he will. So we're going to praise him, give him glory and honor, sing out a song to him, write down what you're asking God for, right? And then we're going to watch him work. We're going to act as though it's already happening. Don't keep saying, I don't think God's ever going to hear my prayer, because that goes back to W, whining, right? I have been known to whine to Cliff about my weights. Right, honey? He's my bestie. I can talk to him about anything. Anyway, but then I say, I know I shouldn't whine. I know how I would counsel myself. And then we take it back to God, right? And we pray. So we act as though it's already happening. You want to redo your kitchen, but your kitchen's a mess right now and you have a whole bunch of Tupperware that doesn't even have lids. Go through your stuff. Prep your kitchen for a remodel. And guess what? You might prep your kitchen for a remodel and you might like your kitchen again. You want a brand new car, but you have McDonald's cups and bags and garbage and trash in your car. Why would God give you a new car? You're not taking care of the one you have. Take care of what you have. Steward well what you have. Then God can say, now I can give you more. If you're faithful with little, he will give you much. So act as though I'm getting a new car. I got to clean my car out so I can sell this thing. Prep yourself. Prep your home. Prep your heart. Okay? I could give you many examples of that. And then inspire someone else. Invest in someone else's vision and goal. If there's somebody else in your life and you know that they're asking God for something, try blessing them financially. Maybe send them a card of encouragement. Maybe give them a call. Think outside yourself, because when you start thinking outside of your own weights, you're not even going to think about your own weights. You're going to be thinking about how you can help somebody else. Don't isolate even your mind and your heart and your giving. Don't just hoard, give, because you can never outgive God. And then when you T, instead of turning to something else, turn and trust that God will bring it to pass, that he is working. So we're going to talk about the writing it down. Worship and write it down. Psalm 119:147 says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. Now, as David said, he doesn't say, I sleep until noon. I pray at 2 o'clock. I eat dinner and I go to bed. He rises before the sun comes up and I wait. And this morning I was thinking of that old song we used to sing. So I wait for you, so I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. So when you get on your knees and you point to the Lord, you know what, Lord, if you get to it, fine. If you don't, I just love you. I just love being yours. Waiting stretches our contentment. Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my people and eagerly watch. I wait with expectation is what it means. In the morning, not after lunch sometime or at night while I'm falling asleep. Okay, Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. What? We've done it. Right? And it's okay for Jesus to sing you to sleep. It's okay to talk to him before you go to sleep. Talk to him all day. But listen to him. Give him the first of your day, the first fruits, the first of your time. In the morning, O Lord. Waiting is hoping. Waiting is knowing that God has heard us. Psalm 46:10 says, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Don't be stressed and think that I'm God. Be still and know that he is God, right? Sometimes we just cannot control the circumstances around us. We cannot control the passing of time. We cannot control people. We can't make somebody else act the way that we would. Well, I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have done it that way. I can't believe they did it. They don't think like you. Cliff and I have often said that when we feel like maybe hurt or offended, it's like, no, they don't think the same way that I do, and I don't think the way they do. And I bet they have been offended by me because of the way I think or speak. And it's not what my heart means. It's just God made us all different. Thank God we're not all the same. We'd be a really boring church, wouldn't we? There'd be no adventure to our lives if we were all just cookie cutter, the same. I'm a Christian and I'm exactly like Jesus, right? We're all working toward it. We're all at different places and we all have different personalities. And God is just the amazing creator because we're all different. Not one of you is the same and not one of you can do the thing that God has called you to do. You have a calling. You have a purpose. And it's not just to sit in church. It's not just to watch someone else have a great life. God created you to have a great abundant life in him. So we're going to talk about this. Record the journey. Journal. I'm coughing because if you had a quarter for every time the word journaling was spoken in this church, you'd be rich. right? Right, Pastor? Pastor Rick talked about journaling a long time ago, and it's funny, I have this. This is my first journal from sixth grade. I don't even have words spelled correctly. But this was from 1989 when I took Pastor Rick's discipleship class. He even signed the inside. I'll have to read that. I didn't read that this morning. But it says Jennifer Blose on the inside because that was my maiden name. And would you believe it that in sixth grade, I wrote prayers praying for Cliff and his family? That's the man I married, right? And I didn't know that was happening. I knew Cliff then, of course. But I just prayed for Cliff and his family, Patty, Janelle, Mike. I was going to marry that guy someday, right? I didn't know that was going to happen. So journaling is recording the journey that you're on. Because I know sometimes I forget things that God spoke to me yesterday. So when I feel that he's saying something to me, when I get quiet before him, when I read his word and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me? What do you want me to do today? What do you want me not to do? And you just seek God. Even for 15, 20 minutes in the morning, sit with your journal, write down a scripture that God's bringing to your heart, pray, and see what God says to you. And if he speaks something to you, write it down. And if something really cool happened the day before, or maybe you went through a struggle the day before, write that down. Yesterday was a great day. This happened. You know, yesterday was a rough day because, you know, it was a great morning, but then we had a challenging evening. And you write that down. And later, when you go back to those journals, you're going to see, wow, look what God did. Today I'm worried about, and you put it in a box. I'm struggling to forgive, and you write out it, and then you write over it with red marker, forgiven. I mean, we could give you many, many tools to use for your journaling time. But talk to Jesus and write it down, what he's saying to you, because you don't want to forget the things he's saying to you. Write down the things you're waiting for, the things that you're asking him for. Waiting is not wishing. You can wish your whole life away. Oh, I wish things were different. I wish this. I wish I had that. I wish I could do that. I wish I had just... You cannot undo the past, and you cannot wish your future into something great. You wait on God. You write it down. You watch him work, and you follow his direction when he's directing you to do something. When he says step out in faith, you step out in faith. So record the journey. In 2007, I resolved to journal. So that was my sixth grade journal. But then I didn't really start journaling every day until 2007. And these are all of my journals. There's like 30 there, 30 some there. These are my journals since then. Usually, you know, two a year I go through because I like pretty ones, you know. And that's what I was going to say, ladies. If you like pretty things, buy a very pretty journal that you cannot wait to write in. Don't buy something you don't like because you won't go to it. If you look at the counter in the morning when you get your nice cup of coffee, get a great mug that you love. Get a great journal that you love. Get a Bible that you love so that when you wake up, you're like, ooh, I can't wait to write in here, right? Guys, get something cool, you know? Get like a black leather journal. You're like, this is cool. This is all about my life. And write about what God's speaking to you, because I can guarantee you, 2007, I started journaling. My whole ministry and life transformed within months. It was like, God was like, okay, I got you now. Now you're on the track, and this is where we're going. So journal, write it down. Writing things down and watching God move launches us to increase our faith. So then we're going to, as I said, we worship, write it down. Act as though it's already happening. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. For faith, Hebrews 11:1-3, let's read it together. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Faith does not mean I'm pretending. Faith means I believe. I know in my heart. Faith is trusting, believing. The word wait means to hope. So faith is the assurance of things waited for, hoped for. The conviction that I know, even though I can't see it, God is doing something. Then Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, let's read it, it is impossible to please God. Comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. He is a rewarder of those who wait for him. He is a rewarder of those who come boldly before his throne of grace and believe, God, I can't see you, but here I am, And I love you, and I know that you love me too. What do you want to speak to me? Lord, change my heart. Help me hear you. Some days it's hard to walk by faith. You know, when we were asking God for a child, it was hard. I'm like, maybe I'm not going to be a good mom. I used to have those thoughts. Maybe God doesn't want me to have one, and does he? I don't know. And we were trusting and we were hoping, but we didn't want to give up. Cliff used this quote a couple weeks ago, God is looking for people who just won't quit, right? And if you bug him enough, he might give in. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. That's what he wants. He just wants you to be with him. Not, okay, God, over here, here, I want, this is what I want, Lord, and then walk away from him. You know, you're saying, Lord, be the shade at my right hand. I want to take you with me, Jesus. I want to take your word. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want you to be in every decision that I make today, Lord. What do you want to say? What are you doing? Why is this person talking to me for so long? Is there something that you want me to share with them? And you just walk with the Lord and talk with him all day long, right? Bringing him alongside of us. He's looking for people who just won't quit. Psalm 27, 13 to 14, David said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. He was telling his soul, my soul will wait for God alone, for my help comes from him. I would have despaired unless I had hope. I would have despaired unless I had waited for God and trusted him. But you know what? Even if I don't get it, I'm going to keep hoping and I'm going to keep trusting him till the day he returns. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. He's like, just wait. I got something good for you. Take heart. I've come to give you abundant life. Don't give up. Psalm 41 through 3, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. That is great imagery. I waited patiently for the Lord. Hello, God. I'm in the pit of destruction right now. I need help. Is he coming? Right? Of course. His hand. He pulls you up out of the garbage of the past. He sets your feet firm on a solid rock. That is him. Right? He puts a new song in your mouth. A song of praise to God so that other people will see what God's done in your life and they also will trust in the Lord. That's what God says so often, sing a new song. It's not because he's necessarily tired of the old ones, although we get tired of the old ones, right? But he's saying, what am I doing in you right now? Sing about it. Talk about it. Write about it. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Easy things don't require faith, right? Easy things don't require faith. It's the hard things that require a lot of faith. And I believe that the more grace and faith you need to handle a situation, the more of God's power emanates from you. When you're doing something and you know you're only doing this in the power of God, his power emanates from you. It happened with Peter when he walked and people would just get healed as he walked by. Do you imagine that? He was walking in grace and faith and trusting in God. It takes courage. All right. So what are we going to do? All right. Worship and write it down. Act as though it's already happening. Inspire someone else. Encourage someone else. Don't isolate. It's so easy to think, you know, I'm just going to hide. I'm not going to go to church. God's not really moving in my life. I don't know if I really learn anything there. I don't know if I like those songs that they do. And, oh, so-and-so's talking today, so I don't want to hear her talking again. You know, and I don't know who so-and-so is, but yeah. but don't isolate. Invest in someone else. Help somebody else make their dream happen. I love to help other people's dreams come true. And I don't always have all of it or the big way, but I love to help because I love seeing people's dreams come true. And that's what we need to do. And when we do that, then our stuff is like, eh, whatever. It's okay. God will bring it. I know he'll bring it in his time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord. Okay, so that's our T. Trust in the Lord. Turn to God and trust that he is working. You know, Cliff and I have had some pretty big waits. There's power in waiting. Waiting takes faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith is assurance. So if there's something you're waiting on, like say you're waiting on, you want to build a house. God, I want you to help me build a house. Well, he wants you to write it down. Get some pictures. Tell him what you're looking for. Write down everything you want in a house. Lord, I'd like to get a husband. Well, write down everything you want in a husband. Write down everything you want in a wife. Not a new husband, not a new wife. There's a little disclaimers here at Blue Mountain Community Church. Ask the Lord to change you and to help your husband grow. Ask the Lord to change you and help your wife grow. Come to church together. Write down what you're asking God for. So, you know, when Cliff and I were asking the Lord for a house, when we were, you know, we first got married for 6 years, we were in a apartment that I said I would only live there 2 years. I'll stay here 2 years and that's it. And that turned into six. But we wrote down everything we wanted in a house. We put it on the fridge. And every time we went to the fridge, we saw this house. We saw the drawing of what we wanted. And eventually it happened. Now, it took a while. We got the house and then we let it, you know, we added to it as we could. And we still have things that we were adding to it. And we're in there 21 years. So we didn't just get it all at once. Suddenly you get the house of your dreams because then you have nothing else to ask God for. Right? He likes the journey. Believe it or not, God just likes the journey with you to the place where you're going. Right? So sometimes the waits last for a while, but we get blessed throughout the wait. All right. So that would be the house is like one of the things. And then the other one, which you guys know this and I apologize, but I got to say it. When I recorded my album, that was a 17-year journey from 2003 to 2020 or to 2020, right? And that was 17 years and God had me title it Faithful. The song I wrote was called Faithful. And I don't know if anybody ever noticed this. If you noticed this before, you'll have to tell me. But when God gave me the vision for the back cover, Maggie Lukasevich, by the way, drew these. She created these. And when God gave me the vision for what we should put on the back cover, I saw a person looking up to God with crosses in their eyes. Anybody notice that the eyes are a cross? If Cliff were up here, he'd say she's cross-eyed. But since he's not up here, I won't say it. Okay, but So there's a cross, and that's keeping our eyes on Jesus, right? We keep our eyes on God. And it took a long time. And I remember driving back and forth, and it took 300 hours to make the final CD. I mean, it was hours and hours, but I was at the studio 300 hours. It was over 1,000 miles on my car to go back and forth. It was a lot of money. It was hard. It was not easy. And on my way there, things kept happening and COVID happened and all these different things that were kind of blocking the way. And I said, Lord, I was whining. I feel like the theme of my life is wait. Right? I feel like the theme of my life is wait. And he spoke to me so clearly. He said, no, the theme of your life is not wait. The theme of your life is I am faithful. And that is the theme of your life. When you're waiting, I feel like I'm always waiting. No, the theme of your life is God is faithful, but will you trust him? You know, having a child, you know, we had been married for 16 years, never had a child, honestly weren't sure what we were going to do because we were enjoying life, just the two of us. We were enjoying life, but God had given us a name for a child when we had first gotten married, and that was Brie, B-R-I-E. And we always thought we would have a daughter, and if we ever had a daughter, we'd name her Brie. And 16 years later, we couldn't take it anymore. I wanted a child so badly, and I would wake up in the morning and find out I wasn't pregnant, and a lot of women have gone through that, and I would cry and I would want to get under the covers and lay on the couch. And I said, no, Jen, get up. every, I'd have to get up and serve the Lord. Just get up. I would tell myself all the time, just get up with Jen, right? You see that on Facebook, I have that get up with Jen. And a lot of that came from that. Get up. And when we found out about Bella, there's a long story to it, but when we found out about our daughter, I said, Lord, I want her. What do I have to do? And he so quickly said to me, you don't have to do anything. I'm doing it. Walk by faith, not by sight. There are going to be things you won't understand. And the reason I'm sharing that with you today is because I believe that that is something that God speaks to all of us. Sometimes we're like, what do I have to do? 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 And we're not letting God handle the timing. And he basically said, take your hands off of it for a minute. I'm doing it. Right? You don't have to do anything. I'm doing it. Walk by faith, not by sight. There will be things you won't understand. And that is how life is. When you're waiting on God for something, most of the time it will look like it's not going to happen. Most of the time it will look completely impossible. But with God, there's going to be things you won't understand. He will bring it to pass when it's in his will. So anyway, the reason I say it was funny how it lined up, because God told me a year ago about this message title on wait, is that this weekend it actually lines up perfectly with the dates from 2013. Bella was born in 2013. On June 23rd, 2013, it was a Sunday, just like today is June 23rd and it's a Sunday, Bella came to live with us. And she was, yeah. And she was 5.5 months old, but it took 2 years to the day for her to finally be an official Eckhart. And her name is Bella Rain Ivy, and our last name is Eckhart, her initial spell, Bree. Yeah, so God named her. And when I say that, 11 years later, may I never lose the wonder of what God did, because her name carried us through the 2 years where we thought we were going to have to give her back. And we had to hold her with an open hand. Love her like she was ours forever, but hold her like we might have to give her back. And God told me right before we met her, you will have a child and you will love it. And he wasn't kidding. Man, do I love being her mom, and I'm blessed. So she's my only child. And people would say, you're going to get pregnant now. That didn't happen. But it's okay. We trust in God. So I remember, you know, in that time when we had her, one of the things I said to God, I don't have it on here, but when it looked like it might not happen, I said, Lord, if this doesn't happen, and he just said to me, what are you going to do? The Holy Spirit said, what are you going to do? And I can tell you, my shoulders dropped, because I was on the floor like, if this doesn't happen, God, what are you going to do? And I said, I will still love you. I will still praise you. I will still serve you. There was no way Satan was stealing me from the ministry God called me to if I didn't get my way. So I'm asking you, what are you waiting for? And ask yourself these questions. Am I content without it? How do I respond when I don't get my way? Am I humble enough to admit I may not be ready for it? Am I patient to understand that it may not be the right time? Am I enough without it? Do I trust God that if he says it's mine, that it will be? And I know when we completely cry out to God and we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. It does break our will. And then that gives God a place to really work. And I'll tell you, when your will is broken and you love Jesus more than that thing you want, God will go, okay, now you can have it. You love me more, right? Did you ever do that to your kids? Oh, you want this thing? Oh, you want this thing? You want this thing behind my back? Do you love me? Okay, give me a kiss. Give mommy a smooch. Don't you do that? Okay. God knows moms. He gets moms, right? So in Hebrews 11, so this is what we're going to talk about, the by faith. By faith, it says, the men of old. Now, I'm just going to read their names. So I encourage you, read Hebrews 11, men of old. He talked about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, and the list goes on, right? He says, by faith, these men did this, they did that, they did this, he did that. And he's like, time will fail me if I start talking about these other guys of faith and these other women of faith. So I'm asking you, by faith, what are you doing? One of my favorite lines in this song by a band, Petra, waters never part until our feet get wet. God wants our feet to get wet, then he'll part. So are you stepping out in faith when you're waiting on God? Are you stepping out in faith and saying, Lord, where do you want me to go? Is there something you want me to do? You want me to stop? You want me to do this? Oh, that's not it. Okay, I'm going to go over here and do this. But you have to be talking to him and in tune with what he's saying. What have you done by faith? So in that Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, by faith Jacob, by faith Sarah, I want you to fill your name in. By faith, Jennifer. By faith, Heidi. By faith, Keith. By faith, Kathy. By faith, Annette. And write in your journal, by faith, Rick. What did you do by faith in your life? Hey, tomorrow morning, there's your assignment. By faith, put your name. What are steps of faith that you've taken? And then if you say, I need to, by faith, Bev needs to, and then make a list, okay? The Lord is patient toward us. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Music ministry, will you please come forward? Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love them. Do you ever feel like the theme of your life is wait, like me whining to God? And God is saying the theme of your life is, I am faithful. Maybe put this in your journal tomorrow morning. I feel like my whole life has been about, but God says my whole life is about. Okay? And start thinking about those things. You know, I read that the Lord is patient toward us. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Whatever you can dream up that you want here on this earth, it pales in comparison to what God has prepared for you. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a minute. Just give everyone a courtesy of just a moment with God. If you have not ever asked Jesus to come into your life, first of all, and given him leadership and lordship, letting him go first, then I ask you to just look up at me and raise your hand so that I could see you. You want to ask Jesus to come into your life, be the leader of your life today. Anybody? You want to give Jesus your life? I see you. I see you in the back there. I see you. Anybody else? Okay. Now, how about raise your hand if you have something that you're waiting for God to do? There's something that you need him to do. You're waiting for him. All right. See you. There is power in waiting. So Lord Jesus, we just praise you. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are near us, God, that you're in us, you're with us, you're through us. And Lord, we wait on you. We hope in you because we know that there is power. As we wait, you use time to help us to be patient, to find contentment in the things you've already done. And if you never do one more thing for us, Lord, you've done enough. You gave your life on the cross. So Lord, we give you all praise and glory and honor. We worship you. Lord, we ask you to come and lead us, to show us your ways, to teach us your ways, Lord. Let us have eyes to see what you're doing, that we would walk by faith and not by sight, not by what our human eyes see, but by what you are doing. You even form things from things that do not even yet exist. So thank you that you're bringing provision, direction, clarity, everything that we need. In Jesus' name.